Hey, it's Brian Hayes. Big news in Canada. Manscaped is officially launched throughout the country. It is time to fire up the best men's below-the-waist grooming option possible. That is Manscaped. You're going to feel better about yourself, and most importantly, your significant other is going to absolutely love it. Check out the website manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code Hayes, that's H-A-Y-E-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Hayes and start trimming.
Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. We're just talking about the power play, which, you know, for the Leafs, again, was an issue last night. That four-minute power play in the third was awful. It was a rally killer. They were flying, and it completely took the air out of the building, and there's already no fans in there. But Mike Johnson was breaking down using the back of the net or behind the net as an option to change the complexion of a power play. I saw you tweeting about it as well, Ray. Could you see that as a possible option for the Leafs, because something's got to give here?
Well, I think it can be as in a basket of options. The problem is, you know, and I was going to get into it yesterday on Twitter, not get into it, but I was going to start explaining, and I'm like, oh man, I don't have the energy for it anymore.
Yep.
Because you know how you just swirl around the toilet bowl then. But it's like, you know, people are sending pictures about Gretzky standing behind the net. In today's game, nobody would let you stand behind the net. We used to talk about, should we force Gretzky out or leave him there? And nobody ever really had a good answer. But in today's game, the guys are bigger and more mobile. And so if you wanted to set up behind the net, half the problem would be for the play to develop in front of the net. You'd have to have enough time for that guy to stand there and survey what's going on. He wouldn't get that very often.
Like, it would on the power play, Ray. But yes. On the power play, you wouldn't get that time?
Do you think they're going to let him stand back there? Think of what happens, Dave. I'm asking you. Just think of what happens. The puck goes from, it's got to get there somehow. So it goes from the side of the sideboards to behind the net, or they pass it around the boards on a D, or from the D, mm-hmm. like from the point there. Do you think the D is staying in front of the net? No, they attack the puck every time. Mm-hmm. Every time that puck is not in full possession, penalty killers attack. We never used to do that. You'd bobble the puck on the sideboards, and everybody would stay back. They're, you know, stay in the box, stay in the diamond.
Yeah, I think we lost Ray, but yeah, we'll get him back on. But he makes a good point based on what Calgary was doing last night alone, like just recency bias.
Yeah,
they
very aggressive.
Attack, and that's yep. one team. And obviously the way the penalty killing has played out has changed a lot. I think we have you back, Ray.
Yeah, am I there? Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we got you. We're just saying, like Calgary expressed your opinion last night. Like, that is as aggressive of a penalty kill as you're going to find. Like, they just never stop. Like, they wherever the puck was, they were going at you and forcing you to make plays.
Brian, it's almost like the penalty killers now dare you to move the puck fast enough. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you're going to get a shot. But in most cases, one little bobble, one little mispass, one puck that's 2 feet to one side or the other, and they just race after you. I think that play could be part of your options for your power play. One thing that's pretty clear is, you know, the teams have had plenty of looks at the Leaf power play, and it's pretty obvious where the two biggest threats are, and that's Matthews and Marner. And so they try to limit that cross seam or that cross side to side pass. They try and front the shot when Matthews gets it. They're trying to make other people beat them.
Yeah. Makes no sense. Doubt about it. So, Ray, when you look at the way, you know, Edmonton deploys McDavid and Draisaitl, like they're out there for like 90% of Edmonton's power play minutes, and they're right near the top of the league in power play percentage. Ovi's always been a 90% of the minutes on the power play kind of guy for the Capitals. And yet Matthews is, you know, best scorer we've seen come into the league since he arrived. And he's getting like 70% of Toronto's power play minutes. You know, and Sheldon Keefe has talked about he wants that internal competition and two units kind of competing against each other. How do you see that one?
Well, the thing that could change that is take a look at the minutes those guys play, right? And Matthews, even at 70% of the minutes, as you say, I'm just going to take your math to
it. Yeah, I looked it up today. It's 70.
Okay, great. So 70%, they're already at, Marner's at what, 22 and a half minutes a game.
Yeah.
How much can he play? They use Marner
Good
to
question.
Kill penalties. That's hard work, right? Hard minutes. He's one of their top penalty killers too. It's not like he's a sidebar penalty kill guy. So if you want them to collect another couple of minutes on the power play, can you play 25 minutes? Maybe the answer is if they can lower their minutes through some of the additions that they've made at 5-on-5, maybe they can squeeze another minute or two or three out of a power play night.
Yeah.
But you can't. Forwards cannot play 25 and 26 minutes a night. I mean, what McDavid and Draisaitl will do, honestly, I can't believe it. But there's lots of times that they conserve their energy. They're smart. They're both really smart. And they'll conserve their energy when they don't have to hunt the puck, and then they go when they have to go. But they're up at crazy minutes, and I'm pretty sure Dave Tippett doesn't want to play them that much, but they don't have a whole lot of options deeper in their lineup. Maybe Nick Foligno, maybe Riley Nash, maybe they give them a little bit more comfort in playing some guys, because look what happens. As soon as they fell down the other night, the game we did on, what's today, Wednesday?
Monday,
on Monday.
Montreal, yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they went down to three lines fast, and you're looking at Robertson with 8 minutes, and Engvall, got stapled to the bench, and Simmons played a couple of minutes here and there. And so you're down to nine forwards, but nine forwards means your top guys are getting more than the, one-third of the minutes. So I would say that's the biggest, roadblock to that.
You mentioned Wayne Simmons. I can't help but feel for the guy, because prior to his injury, he had really found his niche. Like, he was putting up good numbers. He was scoring goals. He was a big part of that power play that was really rolling, getting in fights, throwing hits. And he's not there right now. Like, he just hasn't found it since coming back from that injury, and it's what derailed him the previous 2 years of his career. He just ran into injuries and then just couldn't get back on the train. And
there was a play last night, I don't know if you remember it. He got a cross pass, and it was in the neutral zone, and he had, I won't say he had a break, but he had a step. He was out on the left wing, and it was like the puck was an anchor for him.
Yep.
And I, in that moment, I'm like, I don't remember this happening before he got hurt. Like, I actually thought he skated quite well before he got hurt, in particular given the injury after injury after injury he had to fight through the previous couple of years. But he's not made an impact the last couple of five, six, seven games that he's played. There's just been no impact. And Joe Thornton's the same way.
Yeah.
And so, you're like, they're going to have to decide here who can and can't get going. And I know Sheldon Keefe from a coach's mind would want to keep playing them and find out now. Like, can they catch their stride? Like, can Simmons catch the train again? Right? Like, you got to find out. You can't just say, oh, forget it, I'm done with these guys. Because then they're not even an option for you down the road.
Well, and
you've got to find out.
On top of that, Ray, we were talking to Nick Foligno in the last hour, and he's going through quarantine here. He might take a week beyond that to find his legs. Like, you sit in a hotel room for a week, it's going to take you a while. So he's going to come, when he's ready to play, they're going to play him, clearly. But there's no guarantees he's ready to play 16 minutes, 17 minutes, and make a big impact either. It might take him a little while.
I would think it would, because don't forget, not only is he... he's not working out. I mean, I'm sure they got him a bike. And we talked to Pierre-Luc Dubois on the Ray and Drake's podcast when he was in quarantine. And he's like, they dropped off the bike and the weights outside the house. And I had to bring him in. And he had stuff to work out with. But then he played two games and he got hurt.
Right.
And so they got to be careful about easing him in. Plus, he doesn't know the system. I mean, you can sit and watch video all you want. And they can coach you up all you want. But there's got to be a... Not there's got to be. There is a time when you're like a robot out there. You're thinking all the time, am I in the right spot? You're looking at the other guys. You're like, I think so. I don't know. Because it's not what you were playing. I got traded to St. Louis. I was 37 years old. I felt like I was in the wrong spot 90% of the time. I'd come back to the bench, and the assistant coach would have the board out, and they'd be drawing stuff to me every shift. I'm like, damn, I can't get anything right.
Right. Grizzled
vet. And yeah, so exactly. It's going to take him a little time.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, it's gonna take him some time. But obviously, you know, he's a guy they believe can fit in. And I, you know, how much of a problem is that going to be for Sheldon Keefe, Ray? If you've got veteran guys who you value and obviously are big locker room influences in the likes of Thornton and Simmons, whose usefulness on the ice is kind of up and down and maybe a little too down. I mean, what do you do about that?
Well, I know I read this a lot, you know, there's no loyalty to a player and, you know, a guy had been there 10 or 12 years and they showed him no loyalty. Yeah, you're right. There isn't.
Yeah.
Because you can't be loyal. It's not like, you know, we just got a new puppy. He's going to be my best friend for the next 15 years, right? Like, there can't be that loyalty. If they can't play and can't produce, you've got to move past them. No matter how much you like and respect and love the way they are around your teammates, it's only going to come down to the production and the play on the ice. And you say, how does Sheldon Keefe do that? He draws up his lineup and he writes in the 12 best forwards. He writes in the guys that give him the best chance to win. And it's going to suck for somebody. Like, pretty clearly, you know, the worst part about depth is that you've got depth. That means that some guys can't play.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this the way their lines are. And, you know, the guy that – this might sound a little goofy here, but the guy that might determine where guys are going to play a little bit is Engvall.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got benched in Montreal. Last night, I'm watching him, and I'm like, he's 6'5", and he's 215 pounds. They dump the puck into the zone. He goes in there like he's, you know, like he's timid to get in. He's got to use his body. His body is part of his toolbox. Like, you got to run guys through the board. You got to bump. You've got to be engaged in a forecheck. That is the role of that line. And if he can't do that, they're going to have to move some people around to fix that hole. Could that be Foligno? Maybe. But I think they probably have in mind that Foligno would play in their top six, as would Hyman, and that would give them, you know, a strong presence on the left side of both of those lines once Nylander gets back. Like, that's how I see their top six. And then that leaves you with a third line of Mikheyev, who is more than fine. I mean, I a good player. I wish he'd score on a breakaway once
that's
in a while.
That's the only thing. The offense dies on his stick a bit, but he moves. You know what
but
you're
everything
getting
else? Like, don't you like the way he plays, the energy?
Every night.
I'm like, that's a player. And now they like Galchenyuk. And maybe he becomes a player on that line. And if you've got Hyman moved up there, now you're one short. Is it Engvall? If it can't be, can it be Kerfoot? Could it be Spezza? Like, they're good. They're, oh, by the way, they got Riley Nash coming too. So I view that bottom six guys as, even if they go on a long run, it's not going to be set. It's going to be a bit of musical chairs. Whoever's going, whoever gives me the best on a particular night, is going to get the shot the next night. And it's going to, I think those are movable pieces, like move around the lineup pieces.
I fully expect that to be the case. I think you'll see changes down the stretch and certainly into the playoffs. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Milan Lucic played his 1,000th game last night. Beautiful pass to set up that first goal and then fights Scott Sabourin in kind of a old school, like off the draw, are we dropping the puck, are we not, forget it, let's go type scenario. And both guys got their licks in, but how do you expect to look back on the legacy of Lucic? When all is said and done, he's played his 1,000 games. He's probably going to get to 1,100 or 1,200 games when all is said and done. What do you think 10, 15 years from now we're going to suggest is the legacy of Milan Lucic?
One of the most terrifying guys to play in his generation. People are still scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just think of him when he was rumbling around in, you know, the 2011, 12, 13, 14 era. Man, who was stopping him? Nobody. And he was in the perfect place. Like, he fit being a Bruin.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was just, it just fit for him. And, you know, you have to acknowledge, too, as I'm saying about how terrifying he is, he's got 530 points. Like, he can play. He could play. I'm quite impressed with his year this year. He's skated better this year than he has the last couple of years. I'm not particularly sure why, but I've actually been quite impressed with the way he's played.
Yes.
And yeah, he's not the same guy, right? He's not the same guy. Of course not.
No.
But man, if you can get that type of movement and energy out of him on most nights, I think you're going to be happy. You'll never love his cap hit. I mean, that's can't do anything about that now. But he's had a fantastic career. He really has.
And you mentioned that what sticks out to me is more 13, because we always come back to it here in Toronto. When the Leafs were up 4-1, there was one player who changed the tide of that game, and it was Milan Lucic. Like, it was
who was the answer? Who was the answer going to be?
Yep.
Nobody.
He came over the board. They were, by that point, Julian was double shifted. That line of him, Krejci, and Horton, like, Nathan Horton's a guy we forget because of the injury, and he just kind of faded away because of what happened to him. But he was a big boy, too, that skated downhill. And Lucic, I was watching it in Toronto, and I could feel it in Boston. They're like, get him back on the ice, and he was an absolute machine. Absolute machine. Just downhill. Everyone was terrified of him on the Leafs. Like, I don't know if you're in the building, Dave, but if you were, I mean, I'm sure you can recall better than we can. He was an absolute machine with 11 minutes to go. Machine.
No, he was. He was. And I just picture him.
Guys, my picture is that chip into the zone and him just steaming after it.
Yeah.
And the, like, and the.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got you, right?
Anyway, sorry, we lost you there, Ray. I'm not sure Leaf fans want a recap of the collapse on Causeway Street anyhow. The memories are still painful. The memories are very painful. But how about this one, Hayes, with Nick Robertson now being added to the Leafs list of players unavailable due to COVID protocol?
Yeah, that's a bit
tweeted
scary.
Out just recently by Kristen.
We were talking about that earlier, Ray, that you know the Marlies are shut down and Nylander's away, and now Robertson's been added to the list. Like, it's kind of lurking around this team here in Toronto. It's a bit scary.
Man, it is, because, you know, I guess what, you know, we knew and maybe are learning or being reminded of is that, you know, that you can test negative yet not really be negative.
Yep.
And so that's the, you know, I mean, sitting in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's, you know, I mean, of course, I live in Vancouver, and, you know, they're somehow trying to figure out how to get the Canucks back on the ice, but look at what happened here, and I think the St. Louis game got canceled tonight, right?
Yes, I thought I saw them leaning that way, but I don't know that definitively.
Is it Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado, because I just saw Grubauer just got added to the COVID list with Colorado, so...
Colorado's, you know, so it's like, and because that Bowen Byram was on the list before, and
yep.
You just see it starting to creep in, and oh man, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I guess everybody does the best they can, but I hope they're all doing the best they can, but it makes, uncomfortable as it may seem, that bubble thing start to seem like, gee, do they have to do that again?
I think that's where they're going for the final four anyway. I don't think they'll do it for the whole playoffs, but I think they'll try to.
No, but I mean, Brian, what if a team gets wiped out like the Canucks?
Well,
at the start of a playoff series, I mean, like that's of course is a fear that you have to have. You have to at least have some, you know, be cognizant of that thing.
Of course.
That geez, that could happen, man.
For sure. Yeah, you're out in the open and you're, you know, I think they have protocols, they have rules, but clearly that they had rules in Vancouver and it didn't matter. They've had rules in Dallas, in Buffalo, Boston. You know, it's an issue, as we can see.
Well, it's an issue and it's not going away. There's no easy road for it. But how do you minimize the risk even more so? You know, I mean, like, literally Nick Robertson's playing yesterday and he's on the list today.
Yep.
Like, that clearly is not a good thing.
No, that is
and that makes everybody uneasy.
Yep, it will.
Yes.
Absolutely, the whole team, everyone, including the Flames last night, Montreal on Monday night. You know, he was at the Bell Center. He was playing in Montreal. He's, you know, he was in Montreal. He was in Toronto. He's playing multiple teams around the team. They're on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff. We'll see. It doesn't mean he necessarily tested positive. But
no.
He was with the Marlies recently, and they've been shut down. due to COVID.
And so is that the reason he's on the list, because he was with the Marlies, Brian?
I don't think that that's official. I'm just reading. Kristen Chilton tweeted out, Nick Robertson has been added to the least list of players unavailable due to COVID protocols. He was with the Marlies recently before being recalled. I think Kristen's just linking the two together. But I don't think that that's necessarily official. But I think Kristen's just reporting that with the Marlies being shut down, now he's on COVID protocol. He was with the team. That maybe there's a connection there. I don't know. But Yeah, it's not good. It's scary. And again, Philip Grubauer added to the COVID list today, this afternoon with Colorado. So there's your starting goalie in Colorado who's on the list.
And reporters down there, guys, just saying he's going to be out for 2 weeks because he actually tested positive.
Right. So there you go. Exactly. Scary.
Not a great way to kind of roll into the playoffs.
No, to say the least. Absolutely. Well, we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't lead to anything significant. But this is the reality of the season, and playing through a pandemic, this is where we're at. We're 13 months into it, and it's still right in our face. So we'll see. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05. Yeah, Ray's gone anyway. It's all good.
Ray's gone again.
He's gone anyway. It's all good. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corollathon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person by appointment or online at MapleToyota.com.